You might have heard a new show on NPR Berlin. It's called From Scratch, and it features interviews with entrepreneurs from the business world, entertainment, and the arts. Listeners get an inside look at how these leading pioneers got their start from scratch. Host Jessica Harris sat down with me to discuss how she got the idea for her show, her interest in the entrepreneurial life, and what she hopes an international audience will take from her guests. So, where did you grow up?
I grew up in New York City. I spent most of my life in Queens and then Manhattan.
Did you grow up listening to the radio?
I did grow up listening to the radio, but frankly, I actually watched more TV than listened to the radio. I was a big MacGyver fan and Happy Days. Mm-hmm. I just remember sitting in front of my TV eating Doritos. So I didn't have much guidance or exposure to public radio until, frankly, college. It was sort of like a discovery. And in fact, I had to introduce my parents to public radio.
Really? It's usually the opposite way around. Everyone has these stories of being forced to listen to All Things Considered in the back of their parents' car growing up.
Yeah, I have no kind of Proustian recollections of, NPR in my sleep. And I definitely introduced my parents to NPR versus the other way around. I've had kind of a quirky upbringing in that regard, I guess.
And so you went to Harvard for undergrad?
Yeah, I did. I went to Harvard for undergrad and then came quickly back to New York City, where I've been ever since.
So what did your parents do?
My father was a doctor. He's now retired. He was a hematologist and oncologist. And my mom stayed at home most of the time, although later in her life, she actually hosted a local television show in the Berkshires in Massachusetts, where they moved, focusing on senior citizens issues. And the name of her show was Suddenly We're Seniors. And so she would have people on her TV show, on her local access TV station, talking about, you know, all things pertaining to senior citizen issues. And so maybe that's where I got the recording interviewing bug.
Yeah, it started from her.
Yeah, when she became a senior citizen, she kind of said, all right, well, I don't feel old. I don't feel like what a senior citizen, I guess, you know, should feel like. And, you know, I want to interview other senior citizens and people, you know, post-55 and get a sense for, you know, what this experience is really like.
Well, so if you made your way from Harvard back to New York, back to Columbia Business School?
Yes.
So where did you get that interest or drive to pursue business? I mean, did you start out thinking maybe I'll go into business myself, or was it just something you were interested in?
There were a lot of detours between Harvard and Columbia Business School. I left Harvard and started doing investment banking at Morgan Stanley, and I lasted 2 minutes there. I've always been intrigued by business, but I just felt like a real fish out of water at a large investment bank because I've always been kind of entrepreneurial and kind of a self-starter. And I wanted to see instead what it was like to work in the media and entertainment world. And here I was at 21 years old, you know, sitting in front of a computer 27 hours a day. And I just felt so uncomfortable in my skin. And I knew I wasn't in the right place. And so I just picked up and left and was rollerblading down Columbus Avenue, where I saw they were filming this movie, You've Got Mail, with Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
And I walked up to somebody on the set and I said, hey, you know, I would love to work for you in any capacity. And just so happens one of the members of the crew gave me a job on an independent film. And from there, I ended up working for Woody Allen as a location assistant. And that's how I got kind of my first job in, I guess, the entertainment world, very much by accident.
That's not a bad jump.
No, but it was an accidental jump and a lucky jump. And I feel like that's the experience of an entrepreneur. And I've had a very entrepreneurial life since college, whether it was finding my way to becoming a location assistant for Woody Allen or directing a documentary film afterwards. I've had to kind of create my personal life on my own, if you will. I have felt like many of the entrepreneurs whom I've interviewed on my show, and my own personal story was the catalyst for my starting a show about entrepreneurship.
Well, so if you went from feature filmmaking to documentary filmmaking, and now you're in radio, so I'm kind of wondering what that whole process was, moving from film to radio, because it's such, as you know, it's such a different world. There's so many different things you have to take into account when you're doing film that you don't have in radio. So what was it that appealed to you about doing a radio show?
Well, when I came up with the idea to start from scratch, I was thinking, well, I want to hear the personal stories of entrepreneurs because, you know, I know in isolation I've faced challenges, whether it was raising capital or having issues with partners or having feelings of self-doubt. And so I wanted to highlight the personal stories of other people in my situation. And I thought, well, what's the best medium for that? Mm-hmm. I thought, well, should I start a TV show? Or should I do it on a film? Or how about radio? And I chose radio, A, because I love public radio and that's what had most resonance for me. Mm-hmm. But B, I also felt like if I ever wanted to have kids one day, I would love to, you know, have them sitting on my knee in the recording studio and not have anybody know that they were running around. And so I just felt like radio was just an easier medium because there was just one less thing I needed to worry about. I just felt like, you know what, it's hard enough to get a show off the ground. Mm-hmm. Let me just deal with fewer degrees of complication.
Yeah.
And so there was that. And plus, I just felt like radio was the best medium for a concept and a show like this.
Yeah, just straight conversations.
Yeah, I just didn't want there being any other kind of ancillary complications to the conversation. And I loved NPR and public radio, and I just felt like a show of this type would have most resonance in radio. But it wasn't easy mm-hmm. getting there. Just because I had this idea didn't mean that, oh, NPR was going to pick me up right away.
Right.
I mean, it was a real entrepreneurial process just getting the show off the ground. I put some pilots together and I shopped them around to various NPR affiliates, none of whom would bother to listen to the show or give me time of day
yeah.
because I had no connections in the public radio world. I had never mm-hmm. done radio before. So they thought, well, why should we, you know, listen to your pilots? And just through a lot of perseverance and I guess through stroke of good luck, finally, you know, NPR was willing to listen to the show and give me a chance. But it was a lot of, you know, knocking on doors and being persistent. And again, feeling the way a lot of my entrepreneurs whom I interview feel when they were trying to get their ideas accepted.
Well, so through all the interviews you've done with successful business people, are there any, was there like one characteristic or personality trait that you think really helped them become successful? I mean, was it kind of a right place at the right time? Or do you think that a lot of people were really driven or really creative or they have right connections? I mean, is it kind of a mixture of all these things? Or has it just been one thing that you find common with everyone you've talked to?
Well, I want to step back. You mentioned, you know, a lot of the business folks I've interviewed. My show is about entrepreneurship, and that really encompasses not just business entrepreneurs, but also social entrepreneurs and mm-hmm. cultural pioneers. And some people say, well, why do you have artists on your show? And my feeling is artists are as entrepreneurial as any business entrepreneur, for example. And sometimes getting an art career off the ground is even harder than starting a business because you don't have kind of a set process of starting a business plan and going to venture capitalists. You mm-hmm. know, being an artist is even more amorphous. So, you know, I feel like my show is more about pioneers leading unconventional lives mm-hmm. versus, you know, just purely business.
Well, and I've also heard that a lot of times having a career like being a curator or being an artist, you really need a lot of business skills as well.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you mention that. It's so true. Many of my artists, the artists I interview fall into two camps. Some say, you know what, I do my art. I don't want to know anything about mm-hmm. the business. I let my accountants deal with that. And then on the other side, I have artists saying, listen, you need to market yourself. You need to be a really deft business person if you mm-hmm. want to launch your career. So the artists really fall into two camps. And I think that the latter camp is more practical, but there's no recipe. And in terms of, you know, answering your question from before, like what are some of the common tissues of my guests, I would say aside from, you know, the conventional persistence and perseverance.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there have been these accidental allies that a lot of the entrepreneurs have come into contact with that have really caused the entrepreneurs to have kind of an inflection point in their endeavor, whether it was launching Le Pain Quotidien, which is a chain of great bakeries around the country, or Ethos Water, which was bought by Starbucks. These entrepreneurs really faced adversity, and just when they were about to go out of business, or just when things weren't happening and they thought they needed to close down, you know, in walks Martha Stewart, or in walks Howard Schultz of Starbucks to scoop up Ethos Water. You know, these people just had these moments of inflection, and these people just met these accidental allies that really changed the whole story for them.
Mm-hmm.
So in addition to persistence, I feel like a lot of the entrepreneurs I interview have had these accidental allies in their life that really changed the course of their endeavor 180 degrees.
And it's something that, you know, they would have never thought of, you know, previous to that happening.
Possibly. I mean, it's something they might have dreamt
unexpected.
Of.
Unexpected, yeah.
It's something they might have dreamt of, like Starbucks acquiring Ethos Water, or, you know, Alain Kumon, who started Le Pain Quotidien, having Martha Stewart walk into his store. He would have dreamt that that would happen, but he didn't necessarily arrange for it to happen. And sure enough, she walks into his store, and she's an instant fan. She has him on her show. She has him cater her Christmas parties. And that really helped to escalate, you know, the popularity of his bakery or his restaurants across the country.
Well, so when you originally started from scratch, what did you have in mind for what you wanted your listeners to take away from this, from entrepreneurial stories?
I started from scratch because I wanted the public to hear the very personal stories of entrepreneurs. I didn't want it to be academic or how-to or pedantic. I feel like there are tons of books out there that people can get that tell you about entrepreneurship in 10 steps.
Yeah.
I just wanted to have the show be stripped away of all that kind of pedagogy. And I wanted listeners just to walk away feeling they just heard a sincere, honest, raw, personal perspective on the entrepreneurial life. That's what I hope listeners take away, is that once they've listened to the show, they're just hearing, you know, normal people talk about their own challenges and personal hurdles in getting their products or their businesses or their art careers off the ground, completely raw, without any, you know, academic lessons attached to it. At least that's what I tried to achieve with the show,
Well, and I always, I mean, I love the personal stories, too, with some of your interviews. It's not just solely, you know, this is my business. It was kind of like the funny anecdotes or background stories, too. You know, I drove my car with a sign for our business around, and, you know, at an opera. I mean, it's this kind of stories that I think people can connect with, you know, and it makes it seem a little more personal or down to earth.
That's at least what I try to achieve with the show. I mean, I try to ask the questions that I would want the host to ask if I was listening to the show.
With From Scratch about to begin on NPR Berlin and worldwide across the world, is there anything that you think or you'd like an international audience to take from your show? I mean, because I feel like there's a sort of American quality to some of the stories. It's kind of like the American dream, you know, starting, you have this great idea and you start from nothing and then you build up and you have this huge, you know, this huge product or huge company. And I think that's kind of a kind of sweet American, sort of detail or feeling about the show. And I think a lot of people would be really interested in that in other countries. So, I mean, do you think there's anything that you'd like an international audience to take from the stories?
Definitely. I do think that entrepreneurship is a word that's kind of most associated with the American dream and apple pie, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And it shouldn't be that limited, frankly. And my hope is that listeners in Europe and across the world will feel after listening to some of these interviews that, you know what, like this is entrepreneurship is a universal experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm capable of this just as much as American entrepreneurs are. And frankly, I feel like entrepreneurship and small business creation is the way out for especially developing countries
mm-hmm.
out of poverty. And when they hear these stories, my hope is that they feel too empowered to branch out on their own and to, you know, take that risk. My hope is that listeners won't feel like, oh, this entrepreneurship is limited to the American experience. It's a much more universal experience than that. And I think that notion is more pervasive now than ever.
Well, I was just wondering if you had ever had any surprise moments interviewing people on the show, because a lot of times you have an idea of how you want an interview to go, or, you know, something you're interested in talking about with someone. But then have you ever had any moments where somebody just said something totally off the wall or totally something unexpected, and it just kind of blew you away and you thought, well, I've never thought about that, and it mm-hmm. really kind of changed your whole idea of what the story was.
Mm-hmm. I try not to have my expectations be too rigid when I go into an interview, or while I have kind of a general sense of where I want the interview to go, I really try to kind of let it flow kind of accidentally, because I think that these more ad hoc conversations just lead you to more personal and deeper places than if I had kind of a rigid list of questions. So I kind of fly by the seat of my pants a little bit. And in terms of surprises, I feel like more surprises are likely to occur when I'm just having a face-to-face conversation with somebody
mm-hmm.
rather than having my own strict agenda.
So are most of your interviews in person? Do you interview the person in the actual room, or a lot of them done in the studio?
And actually, I mean, that's a great question. And it relates to what I was just saying. Because I want the conversation to be as candid as possible, I really try to have 95% of my interviews be in person. I rarely do a remote interview for that reason.
Wow.
Because I just feel like if we're in front of each other, there's an element of inhibition that
mm-hmm.
just melts when we're in person. If we're on the phone and I've never seen you before, you can't see my facial expressions
right.
and you can't really let down that facade when it's a remote interview. And so I really try to have 95% of my interviews be in person, and I'm willing to wait a few months until they come to New York, where I live, to make that happen rather than risk it and do it remotely.
Well, so this is the million-dollar question, I guess. Who has been your favorite interview on From Scratch?
Oh, boy. My most recent interview has been my favorite, and maybe it's just because it's top of mind, but I interviewed this woman, Felina Gallagher-Rakowski, who founded a boutique in New York City called The Upper Breast Side. The boutique is on the Upper West Side of Manhattan,
mm-hmm.
and she sells products pertaining to breastfeeding. And I just felt, and she's a former New York City cop who
wow.
faced her own challenges breastfeeding her children and thought, wouldn't it be great to have a store that sold everything pertaining to breastfeeding, whether it be pumps or special bras or creams. And I just felt like, because I'm a nursing mom in the
mm-hmm.
spirit of full disclosure, I just felt like that interview had a lot of personal resonance with me. So Felina faced her own challenges in getting the Upper Breast Side, or her breastfeeding boutique, off the ground. And it wasn't just, you know, working from her own apartment in the early days or getting customers. But while she was opening this boutique, she got breast cancer. And
oh.
she was having to deal with that, ironically, at the same time that she was trying to help other women with their breast issues. So the interview just had a lot of personal resonance
mm-hmm.
with me as a nursing mom.
Well, thank you so much for talking to us, Jessica.
Thank you, Sarah.
Jessica Harris is the host of From Scratch. You can learn more about her show at fromscratchradio.com. You can hear From Scratch Monday mornings at 8 on NPR FM Berlin 104.1.